Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the Roy Harper podcast for October 2007. I'm Paul Davison and I run the website stormcock.net. In this episode, we will have first of all a news roundup, then an interview, this time with Mr. Nick Lane, which I conducted by phone yesterday. We'll have various pieces of music, some of which will be Roy Harper music, but there is a special surprise coming as well. We'll have the A to Z of Harper, this time concentrating on the letter B. We'll have some feedback from the last podcast, and then we'll round up with some general links and info, and then some music to finish. So first of all, some news. Firstly, the BBC reissues arrived on my doorstep a couple of weeks ago, and very nice they are too. I mentioned them in the last podcast and played a track from one of the CDs. Basically, the artwork has been redone. The covers are now red in theme, and they've all got different pictures of Roy at various stages in a sort of live setting, and the inlays have got photos taken from around the time that the sessions or concerts were recorded, plus some full notes about the circumstances of the recording and so on. So if you haven't already got copies of the BBC reissues, I'd say it was well worth getting hold of these ones. If you've already got them, possibly not so much, because the audio is unchanged. The packaging is much better, but the audio itself is the same as ever. Secondly, Stormcock reissue. Unfortunately, I haven't got it yet. I was really hoping it would be out at the end of September, but it appears now that the release will be towards the end of October after this podcast goes out. So I think episode 3 of the Roy Harper podcast will probably be a Stormcock special, which I'm looking forward to anyway. So stay tuned for that. The third major thing, of course, is the Albert Hall gig that Roy did a couple of weeks ago in support of Joanna Newsom. I went to this concert. It was a Friday night. It was very rainy. I got completely soaked on the way to the Albert Hall, and since then I've had a bit of a cold, so I think I can probably blame the gig for giving me some sort of allergy. Probably hear it in my voice. But what a gig. Seriously, one of the best nights out I've had for a long, long time. Now, I was trying to think about when I last went to the Albert Hall, and it's quite bizarre, but I think the last time was when I graduated in 1986, picked up my degree, and was paraded basically in front of Princess Anne, which is a bizarre memory, and she had a very cheeky grin as far as I can remember. I don't think I've been back to the Albert Hall since then. Anyway, I turned up, got in there. It's a very civilised place. It's really nicely laid out. Well, it's obviously circular in nature. There's lots of little corridors and different entrances. And found my seat. And the opening act was the Moore Brothers. The Moore Brothers are a kind of modern-day Simon and Garfunkel. Very nice vocal harmonies and some fairly unsettling songs, actually. I'm going to have to try and get hold of an album and listen in more detail. But they're a good opener, but they're only literally on stage for about 10 minutes. Then Roy came on, and I was absolutely and totally delighted to hear that he was going to be playing all of Stormcock. And he was on stage with Matt Churchill. And not the hall wasn't completely full. I think, you know, some of the hardcore Joanna Newsom fans were probably still in the bar drinking very expensive drinks. But it was pretty full, and I have to say, he captivated the audience extremely well. I got the air of a very attentive audience, and I think from what I now know of Joanna's music, I can understand why, because she's attracted a certain sort of, not cerebral really, but thinking listener, if you like, somebody that's prepared to open their mind to something new. And he plays Stormcock wonderfully. There's a couple of little slips, but nothing major. And the sonics in there were wonderful. They've got these bizarre mushroom hanging down things coming down from the ceiling, which are there to sort of improve the sound. It was just gorgeous. I really was transfixed, literally. I couldn't move from my seat. Really great. 45 minutes, he hardly talked at all. He had to fit in the entire Stormcock, and boy, was it worth it. But then, when Joanna came on, she completely flummoxed me by saying that she's had a lot of great experiences in her life, particularly recently, I suppose, with her success in the music field. But she said that one of the crowning things was that she'd be able to tell her grandchildren that she had sat in a box in the Albert Hall and seen and heard Roy play all of Stormcock. It was her favourite album. And for somebody like that to pay such great tribute to Roy, I thought was really special. Now, since that gig, I've seen a lot of discussions on boards and the like, and I've had some new people join the Stormcock.net site as well. So hi there to anybody that's found us recently through that concert. And a lot of them are very positive about Roy. In fact, I even saw on one bulletin board somebody say that Roy wiped the floor with China, which I can't say I'd really agree with. Her stuff was absolutely magical. It's not easy to sit for 2 hours and listen to an artist for the first time live with music that's fairly challenging as well. You know, I got hold of the EYS album. I hope that's how you pronounce it. But I'd only heard it once before the gig, so I was pretty worried about the fact that it might just oversaturate me, if you like. But no, not at all. The 2 hours flew past. It was so absorbing. Her playing was wonderful. I can't speak highly enough of it. She thanked Roy again at the end of the set for supporting her, and I heard him shout "You're welcome" from the back of the hall in that very distinctive voice of his. So yes, there's a good mutual appreciation going on there. Wonderful opportunity for Roy, and really well executed. So well done, mate, and I hope we get to see you in the Albert Hall again at some point, because it was just wonderful. Some music next. Now, a few years ago on the Stormcock email list, as it was then, we ran a little competition called Splinters, and the idea of it was to get various people that had a sort of musical or poetic ability to compose and record something and send it in, and we'd have a bit of fun voting on whether the track was the best or not. And we also made CDs and sent them around amongst ourselves, basically, so we could hear what other people on the mailing list were capable of. It was real fun, and in fact, we've just done the same process again. CDs will be available at some point once I've liaised sufficiently with Nick Lane to get the audio over to him, which I'm being very slack about. But anyway, the first competition was won by a guy called Adam Leonard with a song called The Great Roy Harper. And it was very well received, although at that point a lot of us were messing around with recording at home with equipment that's not as good as it is today. I was looking for a theme tune for the Roy Harper podcast, and I went to Adam and said, you know, I really do still like your Great Roy Harper thing, and do you mind if I use it for the podcast? And he said, sure. But then we managed to agree that he would re-record it using modern equipment, and I'll be using it as the theme tune for the podcast from the next issue onwards. But just for this time, I thought I would let you listen to it in its entirety. I'll tell you a bit more about Adam at the end, but here is Adam Leonard with The Great Roy Harper.
Open your eyes, ingratiate, don't scupper. Open your eyes, I'm the great Roy Harper. My feet are firmly on the ground, is off at the speed of sound. White scarf and plastic bear floating through troposphere, troposphere. My heart is clear, wood strong as oak. I'm not rock, not pop, not folk. A rolling guitar gladiator, more bite than a alligator. Listen up, I'm sharper. like to have slow sections with insightful reflections of life. Watch out, I turn serious. Thoughts become mysterious and rife. At school they'd say, now stop that, Roy. What we gonna do with that Harper boy? Only wanted to be a star, evolved into a human coup d'etat. No song of mine would be complete without fast up to increase the heat. Slightly noisy, one must concede, but I won't be happy to. Your ears bleed, your ears. Feet are on the ground tonight, but my mind is off at the speed of light. White scarf and plastic bear floating through troposphere, troposphere. Open your mind. Here I come, running stalkers through your brain. I remain Roy Harper.
Thanks, Adam. That was really good. Adam has a new album out called Leonardism, available from Real Wood Records. You can find out more at myspace.com/Real Wood Records. He's been reviewed, and the one review from Everett True from Glam B magazine says, charming ramshackle album that whirls and fidgets round the muddy pastoral fields of Middle England. Here, a little Robin Hitchcock. There, some Sid Barrett whimsy and Swell Maps pouch. Even the odd sarcastic E. Smith colloquialism. Nice. That's quite a good review, actually, Adam. Yeah, so full details about Adam's stuff will be on the stormcock.net site, and you'll find show notes in my blog on that site. Next up will be the fan interview. This time round, I did a phone interview with Nick Lane. Those of you that are active on the stormcock.net community or on the email list indeed will be familiar with Nick and his various trials and tribulations and insightful comments into life in general, to be honest. I thought he'd make an excellent interview subject, so I rang him up yesterday and we got on with it. This is quite a long interview, about 30 minutes, but it's well worth it. So take it away, Nick. Okay, with me this month is Mr. Nick Lane, who will be well known to those of you who are members of the mailing list and look at the website as somebody who's quite active in the Harbour community. But Nick, for the people listening that haven't come across you before, perhaps you can give us a quick introduction to who you are, really.
Interesting question. Who am I? I don't really know. I'm a music enthusiast and very much influenced by, how do we put this, folk rock, I would guess, is the best way I could answer that question, and took to the Stormcock list with huge enthusiasm because I could find the opportunity to speak with, like, souls.
Good. Well, that's what it's there for, really. Dare I ask how old you are?
Yes, too old to be a milkman, but we may come on to that later. Right. I'm 55.
Okay.
And I have two young boys who are now 18 and 21, so we're hitting, what's the expression I'm looking for? Seminal years here. And I'm beginning to feel like a bit of an old fart, but, you know, never mind. I've lost the plot now. What was the original question?
Well, I suppose we know who you are and we know how old you are. The next question is, do you remember when you first got into Roy's music? What were the circumstances and what were your first impressions?
Oh, yeah. Okay, absolutely. Very happy to answer that question. Back in the late 60s, I was a student in Manchester at a particular polytechnic. They call them universities these days, but back in those days, there was a distinct snobbish difference. But anyway, never mind about my political leanings. I was reading metallurgy and was sharing a flat with a bunch of, I don't know, similar oiks, and sharing the costs of the flat, and I happened to chance upon a flatmate who had a copy of Roy Harper's Sophisticated Beggar.
Super. What, an original one?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's still in my prized possession. And then we moved on to Genghis.
Oh, yeah.
But I swapped a copy, and I'm trying to rack my memory cells here, but I swapped a copy of Mike Bloomfield and Al Cooper's double album, which was out and about at that time, for those two Roy albums.
Well, you must have done well, because I've never heard of the people you just mentioned.
You're kidding.
No.
Anyway, never mind. I managed to swap that double album for Sophisticated Beggar and the Genghis album.
Right.
And I've never looked back since.
Interesting, because you've been in it from the beginning. And a lot of people that I know sort of found Roy later on. I'm not harping on the age angle here, Nick, but I think you're in a very lucky position, really, to have sort of followed the whole career. Quite wonderful.
Well, I would imagine so. Because... how can I put this? I'm trying to find the right word here. Besotted is not the right word to use. But me and my good lady wife were besotted with Roy Harper's music and his influence and his expressions of life. It just ticked so many boxes, to use a horrible modern expression. But it did. And we've never looked back. We really haven't.
Mm.
We've stayed fervent, is that a word I could use? We've stayed huge fans of Roy's music and poetry and so on and so forth ever since. We've never lost the plot with Roy. We might have lost the plot with our lives, but we never lost the plot with Roy.
Well, that's, to my mind, that's one of the things that music should be there for. It's like an inspiration, and I always find it really reassuring that somebody else out there sees the issues that I see and is able to express things in a meaningful way far better than I could. And the fact that he's been there for all of those years as a constant is something remarkable, I think. You know, not
I would agree with that comment.
Yeah.
I really would.
So, all right, we are working from a script here. And the next thing on my list says gigs over the years. Now, we've spoken in the past about the fact that you've been to a lot of gigs. And you mentioned to me that you'd seen some very big gigs. And this is of particular interest to me because I went to see him at the Royal Albert Hall a week or two ago with Joanna Newsom. He was doing support. And you said you'd seen him in big halls in the 70s and so on.
Yes.
I was just interested to hear how those sorts of gigs differ from what you might get these days in a smaller folk club or whatever. I mean, how was it? What was the vibe, if you like?
Yeah, okay. I'll use the word buzz rather than vibe. call me old-fashioned, but...
You're old-fashioned.
Yeah, I'm an old fart. back in the early 70s, there's several milestones that I don't even know if that's the right word to use, but me and Liz saw Roy at the Free Trade Hall in Manchester.
Right.
Which back in those days, I've no idea what they're doing these days, I don't know, but back in those days it was a big venue for, how can we say this, popular artists.
Yes.
And then we also saw him at the Palace Theatre, in Manchester, because that's where we were both living and working at that time. But by happenstance or coincidence, call it what you will, we saw Roy at those gigs, and they were huge gigs. I don't really know how to express this thought, but they were huge gigs. Thousands of people turned up to see him at those gigs.
Right.
And this was pre Pink Floyd and Have a Cigar and all that kind of caper. He was hugely successful back then. I think it might have been, scratching my brain cells here, the advent of his popularity for, both Stormcock and, of course, the albums that followed beyond that.
Well, Life Mask.
He did hit a peak back in the early 70s.
Right.
And me and Liz hugely enjoyed that peak and went to see him. That's it.
Well, that must mean that you were seeing him around the time that the Flashes from the Archive stuff was recorded.
Oh, sure.
They sound like really, really big events, you know.
Oh, yeah. Huge. And I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Roy has been the musician's musician.
Yes.
And has deservedly won acclaim from musicians. It's just a shame that it hasn't been translated into the public domain. I often mention Roy Harper to my friends and colleagues, and they, to this day, they say, who?
Me too.
It's just
all the time.
Amazing.
But the thing is, I don't know whether you find this, but there's a kind of closed mind effect as well. People just don't want to, or aren't prepared to put in the effort to listen to something new. I don't know why.
I'll use the word here. Sorry to butt in, but I will use the word challenged.
Yes, yeah.
People don't want to be challenged. And Roy is, of course, very challenging. And me and my ilk, or whatever, enjoys being challenged.
Quite so, yeah.
And long live the likes of Roy Harper, if not Roy himself. I enjoy being challenged. I love his poetry. I love his challenge. Sorry, I'm labouring the point a little bit here.
No, well, that he forces you to think about things in a deep way, and sometimes in uncomfortable ways as well, and raises issues, you know, in a non... It forces you to be non-complacent about what's going on in the world, I think.
Oh, for sure. That's very, very true. It disappoints me, I suppose, that Roy, being the poet that he is, hasn't got wider recognition.
Yeah.
He makes many challenging statements, for want of a better expression, and I wish he'd got more press. that's it, really.
Well,
but
some people would say that he has almost deliberately sabotaged his career at various points by speaking out when perhaps he should have kept his mouth shut as far as the music industry is concerned. But that's part of the appeal for me. He says what he thinks, and to hell with the consequences.
Well, yeah, okay. If you look at it from a commercial point of view, excuse me, but
yeah.
Yes, I would agree with that sentiment. You only have to look at today's Times newspaper to see the latest bun fight that a certain lady, and her name escapes me, who's been fighting about this royalties claim about file sharing and so on and so forth.
It's a ridiculous amount of money.
Oh, it's $220 million or some such
$220,000
claim.
Yeah.
And of course, this has released a barrage of feedback posts from people various. Good on you, mate. through to, well, you stole the work, didn't you?
Yeah.
You deserve all you get. So there's this whole gamut of interpretations. I don't know where this has gone now, but what I'm really trying to say is that I, of all people, would wish to observe copyright.
Yes.
And would wish that the musicians and artists and so on and so forth got their fair share. The big, we've wandered off the plot here, but I'll continue waffling for the moment.
Please do.
the recording companies have been too greedy.
Right.
They've taken far too much money, and the artist in question, which is what the argument's all about, are not getting their deserved returns from their work.
Well, that's absolutely right, and that leads me on to something. Roy, as you know, sells his stuff from his own shop these days.
A good move.
Absolutely. Have you heard what Radiohead are doing with their next album?
Yes, they're releasing it free, it would seem.
Well, it's pay what you think is the right amount.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can basically choose to pay 0 pence, or you can put in £4, £5, £100 if you want. Really interesting idea, and there's no record company involved.
I have my feelings about that concept.
Yeah.
If you'll allow me to waffle on for a moment longer about this.
Of course.
People need to be told what to do. Sorry, that sounds very patronizing, but please forgive me. If Radiohead released their album as a free download or whatever,
yeah,
terrific, fine, let's all grab it. But if there was an option there to bung 50p their way, or £1, or whatever, I don't know, I'm just bouncing ideas here.
Yeah.
Fine, I think a lot of people might do that. But people are not necessarily very organized. You just imagine the local supermarket car park if it didn't have white lines painted on it. Can you imagine
it's the bad
chaos
with the white
of an
lines.
Issue? People need to be told what to do. So if you give them a fair and sensible offer, they will react and respond to that. But if at any point they feel that they're being ripped off, well, no. You know, it's a disaster zone. It really is.
Yeah.
Sorry, I've had my little rant.
Well, I think we'll see what happens. Apparently that marketing or pricing model has been tried before, and most people paid what they considered to be a market rate. There were very, very few freeloaders, and there were some people that paid extra just to do the right thing, if you like. Mm. I think it's going to be quite interesting to see what happens.
Well, indeed, but if people, as you refer to them, that's you, me, and everybody else, were given that free option, and you could either download it or not download it, and you'd got the option to cough up 50p or £1 or whatever it might be, I would have thought that people would, yeah, okay, if they really desire it, they would say, yeah, okay, I'll play that, I want it, I'll get it.
Well, I have to be completely honest here. I do occasionally download stuff, and it's normally from people I've never heard, and I want to see if it's any good. And if I like it, I will buy it. And I'll go out and buy loads of it. So it's
indeed.
I use the analogy of in the old days going into the record shop and asking them to
Well, we can go back
on.
To the old 60s and 70s samplers like Bumpers and Fill Your Head With Rock and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
These were, and Fill Your Head With Rock, for example, had a Roy Harper track on it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that these samplers, if they were still released for what used to be, I don't know, 5 shillings or 10 shillings or whatever it is in old-fashioned money, people bought them by the bloody millions.
Mm.
And it increased record sales because you hear a sampler or a single track from a particular album and you think, I really like that, I'm going to go and buy the album. Wonderful marketing exercise.
Absolutely.
Which doesn't exist anymore.
The only
you can
way...
buy somebody's greatest hits for some absurd price, and who cares? I really don't want Frank Sinatra's greatest hits, thank you so much.
Nothing wrong with Frank Sinatra.
I wasn't suggesting there was. A very cool dude, and I've got wax... or shellac 78 up in the loft to prove it,
yeah.
Mr. Dawson.
Okay, let's try and drag ourselves back onto the script.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
The next topic is stuff you like the best, and what I mean by here is what particular albums or particular tracks even really speak to you that Roy's done.
Okay, well, I'll answer that immediately by saying... The Lord's Prayer.
Right.
From Life Mask. I have to say that because it means so much to me. The poetry in that is sublime. It's... Oh, I don't want to use words that have almost become cliches, like awesome or whatever it is. I had a life-threatening problem of my own back then, and it was a gift to me, that album. I hate to sound mawkish, because that's not the person that I am, but it was given to me as a gift when I came out of hospital. I listened to this album, and I just wept. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. It's just stunning. But it seems a little bit, I don't know, to a lot of people I've subsequently spoken with about the Lord's Prayer, they seem to find that it's a little bit, I don't know, too complex for them, or too, I'm trying to find the right word here, too much is the expression I will use.
Well, for anybody that hasn't heard it that's listening to this, it's a... It was a full side of vinyl in the old days.
Yes.
It's 20 minutes long, and it's a song about everything, and there is line after a line of prose about everything. And I think, from my perspective, I listen to it and I find myself focusing on certain lines and thinking about what he's talking about. And by the time I've recovered from that journey, he's already like 4 or 5 lines further on. So I treat it like a bag of concepts that I dip into, but I can't absorb the whole thing somehow. So maybe that's what people mean when they've told you that. I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe so, but I take it as a whole sweeping concept these days. I've listened to it so many times, and... I listened to it again and again with great relish.
Very good.
I just adore it. I really do. And every time I listen to it, I get another bit out of it. And I think, God damn, spot on. I mean, how old is it now? When was it released?
Life
Mask. Refresh my memory.
73, was it?
73. Yeah, it was early 70s.
Yeah.
It must have been 73. That's when I had the crunch. It's awesome. And this is one of the reasons why I so much appreciate Roy Harper's work. He is such an extraordinary poet. quite aside from the fact that he's a sublime acoustic guitar player,
yeah,
he's just a superb poet. And I keep revisiting things that he's done and think, wow, mate, you are miles in front of your time. I can't put it more succinctly than that, Paul.
I played one of the tracks from his poetry CD in the last podcast. And I found it really interesting because it was the words from The Spirit Lives read by him.
Oh, right.
It added a really sort of pithy dimension to the words that he wrote. And as I said last time, he considered himself as a poet primarily, using music as the delivery medium. And I think...
You see, the difference here with listening to a lot of Roy's work is that I'd never, ever perceived him as being pretentious.
Right.
He speaks from the heart. And you either love it or you don't. But he speaks from the heart. I've never, ever heard any... How can I put this? I don't even know whether this is allowed on a broadcast podcast thingy. I've never heard bullshit from Roy Harper.
Yeah. Don't worry, you're allowed to say that. We've got an explicit tag.
We can sneak that one through the envelope, can we? I've never heard that from him. He speaks from the heart. He speaks from what really is important to him. And for those of us that have ears, we have a lot to learn. And I continue to learn from the guy. And I'm hugely looking forward to his future work.
Absolutely.
I know he's kind of gone into semi-retirement or some such expression, but I'm hugely looking forward to his work, whatever he chooses to do anytime soon.
Well, that leads us nicely on to the next topic, actually. What do you hope for from him in the future? I mean, we're expecting some more new material, obviously.
Yeah. I don't know. I've got rather mixed feelings about the Stormcock new release.
Okay.
Although I'm excited about it, and of course, as a true true fan, I will buy it immediately it's available.
Yeah.
Because I'm interested to understand or get to know what Roy thinks were the required corrections.
Yes,
or
me too.
Whatever it might be. I feel a little bit in limbo on that. I all I can say is I'm so much looking forward to getting the fresh copy. But secondly, the idea of him creating or producing a new album fills me with so much excitement. I think, gosh, what's this guy going to say next? The modern climate is so... Again, I'm a loss for words here, Paul. We are in a state of flux.
Yes.
Politically. Of that, there is no question. And I would dearly like to know what Roy's take is on many, many issues that are going on at the moment. And we haven't had many of his takes. He used to publish a diary.
He did.
At fairly regular intervals, which I read with huge interest. And we haven't had one for a while, and I think, and I'm poking Roy in the ribs here, I could do with another one, mate. You know, forgive me for saying that, but I'd really enjoy or welcome Roy's take on various events of all sorts. The world's political stage, the so-called global warming issue, and all of these various things. I admire Roy. I admire his perception and his intelligence on cutting to the chase on certain things. And I miss his input. And I think maybe we all need a bit more of that.
I don't know. I can't remember a time when people seem less interested or involved in what's going on in the world around them. Reality TV, Big Brother, all of that bullshit, to use your favourite word, seems to almost be making people even more introspective than before and isolated.
I don't know whether... Sorry, I'm barging in on what you're saying. I'm not too sure that people are being necessarily introspective.
Right.
I think they're being reactionary.
Okay.
I lost my train of thought there for a moment, but I was trying to think that people are a little bit lost in certain ways.
Mm.
And I think that reality TV is a neurotic obsession. It's like watching something like Coronation Street or EastEnders or some such nonsense.
Right.
I always think to myself, oh, please, guys, get a life.
Well, that's...
Pay attention to your own life. Don't look at an alternative reality.
That's the thing. It's people living somebody else's life because they don't want to deal with their own one. And that's
terrible. And this is what I was trying to express in a rather very clumsy way.
Yeah.
Which is why Roy's lyrics and poetry and all that are so powerful for me, because he just ignores all of that nonsense and gets right to the point in question.
Excellent. Okay, I think, well, we've rabbited on quite nicely here,
Nick. Quite long enough.
So let's kind of wrap things up. I had an item on my little cue sheet saying Confessions of a Milkman.
I think the name Robin Asquith popped in there.
It did, yeah.
No, I haven't seen any naked ladies.
I have the greatest admiration for you as somebody who has had difficulty getting work lately, but is prepared to get out there and get on with it and do whatever's necessary. So,
well,
kudos to you for doing that. And even if
thank you for that sentiment, Paul, but I'll tell you, it's hard work.
Yeah.
It's, oh dear Lord, what can I say? But in my own defense, I will say that much as I hate the job, and I really do, I hate it. It's an example, I suppose, of someone, and I don't wish to sound sanctimonious, but if you've got to go and do something to earn a few bob, you do what you've got to do.
You do.
And I cannot stand people that just totally depend on the state and scrounge and, I don't know, acquire benefits through whatever means or so on and so forth. I've got no time for those people. If you're in trouble, you've got to get up and do something. And if you can play guitar and write a tune, well, that's terrific. But I can't, so I'm a milkman.
Well,
thank you, Paul. I've enjoyed this natter.
Absolutely.
God only knows what it's going to sound like.
It will be out in a week or two, Nick, so you can listen to it then.
I'll probably cringe.
Is there anything
but I've enjoyed
else,
it, Paul.
Is there anything else you want to bring up, or are you happy?
I don't know. I really don't know. I'll probably think of something else after we've signed off, but I don't know.
Okay.
Roy has had a very powerful influence on my life and the way I think. I'll say that as a rounding off statement.
Very good.
It's not intended to be a gratuitous statement. I really do mean it. Very powerful influence on the way I think about things. Okay.
Thank you very much, Nick.
Not at all, Paul. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye now.
There once was a man from the old Stone Age, and he used to follow the weather. But now he's got hung up on filling a page upon whether to go altogether. And he's been around for so damn long with his whooping and wailing, crushing questions between right and wrong, and impaling the best he can hope and the worst he can fear on the solstices of this whacking illusion. A massive erection. Erection. Pushy defense. Push it. Ah, great solace the wound, and great relish the pain.
Great relic
to be loosing the reins.
Great relic
of a poem to bleed from the tip of my tongue, yet again that part of my heart that is showing these children, conceived in the womb of the scratch. To be sponsors of nothing much other than rearguard directions of cross-fingered sections of purpose. Pot looking for nothing. But what is this last desperate vestige of heart overhead? But another conjecture. No more the tomb of the martyred dead than the ghost of our parting gesture. And 100 billion crystal balls represent a remarkable failure to swell a song, each moment long. At the counterpoint of nature, as four thumbs flick the tarot deck and two tongs fork eight aces, maybe
16 fingers
feel the fool lives in two places where Rosie Lee can read his tea. Leave me living the story. A white dove with a hawk's head. And an open mind before me to sail for a land where life is a high, not a word to be heard or be spoken, but the soul-woven web of the endless touch of a child who could never be broken, who sails a new world from the brink of the ebb as the fish cats prowl in the harbour, and now soars high on the beckoning tide's long arm to weigh his last anchor, and the sou'wester sing as the lifeboat bells ring in the heads on the faces of changes, the heavens collage on Excalibur's edge. The star in his movie converges with fate in his task, and doom on his brow, and a ship in his eye, in a bottle, who speeds to force, to want, to have, to find, to further fortune, who comes from the north, south, west, and east of the passions of a spirit, with all the flight of the wildest beast to ever spur a stirrup.
Has an everlasting secret, whose arms are desire, whose lips are welcome, whose eyes tell stories,
whose head is a journey,
whose hands unfold,
whose feet. I absolutely hate to interrupt that track, but it's 20 minutes long. And I'm hoping that by hearing the poem intro, that'll give you the taste to listen to it again if you've got it, or go out and buy the Life Mask album if you haven't. I was just listening to it through headphones while I was mixing the podcast, and my word, there's a lot going on in there, which I don't normally pick up when I'm listening to it on speakers, so I'm hoping you really enjoyed that as well. Now, I spoke to Nick briefly after we did the interview, and he said, would I mind mentioning that he'd seen Roy... locally, he lives in Gloucester. He'd seen Roy a year or two ago, and it was wonderful to have Roy playing locally in his town, if you like. I know Nick also had tickets for Nick Harper, which unfortunately, due to circumstances, he didn't manage to get to the gig eventually, although he still has the tickets as a memento. Unfortunately, it's something he never actually got to see. We had a brief chat about Roy and the fact that he's cutting back on the gigging, and we both know that you know, it makes sense for somebody who's got limited time and wants to get on with making a new studio album and so on, but the concerts can be absolutely miraculous. And again, I hearken back to the Royal Albert Hall experience that I had, and I can't think of a nicer way of listening to Stormcock than live in the Albert Hall, surrounded by people that are actually open and receptive to the music. And that's the sign of a good gig. Now, the next section in the podcast will be the A to Z of Harper, and I've chosen B. This time round, it's Bullen & Ming-Vars. Bullen & Ming-Vars was an album that Roy brought out in 1977. It was actually called One of Those Days in England in the US. And the name of it comes from the old Bully in a China Shop expression. It's kind of a self-deprecating comment by Roy about his own ability to, cause ructions and upset at times, I suppose, or perhaps be unsubtle, who knows. I thought it was a good one to concentrate on this time round because I think it's a very good beginner album for Roy. It covers all of the various styles that he's used over the years. A full band, acoustic stuff, some light-hearted stuff and very serious stuff, and also a very long song. Again, a side of an album on side B on the old vinyl, One of Those Days in England, the track itself, which is a remarkable commentary on what it is to be English and our heritage, our history, and possibly a comment on the gradual crumbling of our empire, if you like. Well, we don't have an empire, but you know what I mean. It's a remarkably English song, and it's something I'm really in tune with in some strange way, and I love hearing it either on the record or when he does play it live, which is fairly frequent actually for me. I've seen him play it live quite a few times. So Bullen & Ming-Vars, if you haven't got any Roy yet and you're sort of interested in seeing what he's all about after listening to the podcast, give it a whirl and see what you think. And I'm going to play a track from Bullen & Ming-Vars now. This is Cherishing the Lonesome.
As a diamond as clear as a crystal, I come from a temple as trod as a footstool, to hide in a brothel inside a cathedral, the man in the mirror, the fool in the ideal. Pulling apart with a speechless unweaving, dignity reels in the hearts of the grieving. Walking the touchline twixt truth and deceiving, a tear in a smile and a world-wrenching leaving. Thank you.
be some way to tomorrow. Just for a few hours, I think I can borrow a girl who won't fight me but quietly follow. Next,
we have the listener feedback section, which is going to be laughably short, actually. I had a lot of comments on this Domcock.net website from those of you that have listened to the podcast, and you've all been extremely kind. Thank you very, very much for your encouraging and positive feedback. I can't really say I had any particular criticisms, which either means that everything's wonderful or you just don't want to discourage me and, you know, want me to carry on. But thank you anyway. Now, we've had, unbelievably, over 400 listens to the podcast at the time of recording this, which I think is amazing, because I told myself that if I had 50 or more, then it was probably worth carrying on. And the number's been gradually creeping up. And I know that these are different listeners that have either listened to it through the Flash Player on the site or by downloading the MP3 files. So that's really good. And I hope you enjoy this second episode just as much. I was kind of hoping for some audio feedback that people might be able to send in. Sadly, none of you buggers have said a thing. So, if you feel like it for next time, I'd really like to get a voicemail from you. You can either record an MP3 and email it to me at podcast@stormcock.net, or you can call our dedicated voice line on 020-8816-7706. If you're international, that's +44 20 8816 7706. I'd really like to get some other voices on the podcast because I get bored with hearing my own voice all the time. So tell us what you think. Give us some ideas for next things to feature in the next podcast, tracks you'd like to hear, any of that kind of stuff, really. I'm going to have a quick promo now. There's a chap I've started speaking to on Facebook, actually, called Mike Bennett. Mike has made a fiction podcast called One Among the Sleepless, which I've been listening to for months now, actually. I'm getting towards the end of it now. And it's a completely wonderful audio book. He characterises it all himself. He's got an amazing voice talent, brilliant writing, and it's hilarious. So I started talking to him and I said I'd put the promo on for his current endeavour, which is a collection of short stories called Hall of Mirrors. Here is his promo.
Hello, this is Mike Bennett, author of One Among the Sleepless, inviting you to enter the Hall of Mirrors, my new podcast short story collection, stories of horror, the grotesque, and people in unusual circumstances. hallofmirrors.podshow.com.
Thanks, Mike. He has offered to put a promo on his podcast for the Roy Harper podcast if I can manage to do a promo. To be honest with you, I'm not really sure what a promo would consist of for a music podcast. How do I get people that have never heard Roy before interested enough to listen to the podcast in like 30 seconds? Answers on a postcard, please, because I really don't know at the moment. Okay, we're wrapping things up now. First of all, some links. Roy Harper himself has a website at www.royharper.com where you can buy the records and help him have food on his table. My website is at www.stormcock.net, which is an online community for Roy and Nick Harper fans. Lots of insane people there, an animated conversation and lots of fun. Adam Leonard can be found at myspace.com/realwoodrecords, and he's also got his own site on www.edensengine.co.uk, although there isn't too much there at the moment. All of these links and more will be found on the show notes, which will appear on stormcock.net under my blog. By the time I publish this, I'll have them all there, along with a flattering photo of Nick Lane, I suppose, so that you can see what he looks like. Copyrights. Now, you know that I've featured quite a lot of Roy Harper's music in this podcast, and that is by very kind permission of Roy himself. Thank you, mate, for allowing me to put your music in the podcast. It's done under certain conditions. It's obviously copyrighted to Science Friction Limited, and you must not take the music out of the podcast and redistribute it or use it in any other way. It's just for the purposes of the podcast. The podcast itself is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 2.0 UK, England and Wales license. It means you can share it with others, but you can't change it, claim you made it, or nick stuff off of it, nick the music off of it. Okay, now I want to finish this podcast with a couple of music tracks. In fact, I had an idea of playing something from Flashes of the Archives of Oblivion, which is a live album from the mid-70s, since I mentioned it with Nick's interview, and I've got a very nice version of South Africa from that album, and then I thought it would be fun to finish with something completely offbeat, which is Roy's first ever single called Take Me Into Your Eyes. I've really enjoyed making this second podcast. I hope you've enjoyed listening to it, and I'll see you next time. Bye for now.
Call myself a brother, living here alone. Maybe if you came to see me, wishing I wasn't so blind, sitting here thinking to be. I have slept by a window. Often I whisper her name and wonder the words in the winds blow. Happy that hers are the strong. We
Like a